Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Text line 69306. If you have a question for Desmond Moses, former Packer, former Chief, sitting in here with me now, former Hawkeye, and also played at Tulane, down at Winning Streaks in North Kansas City, Harris Casino. As soon as you walk in the door, Gordon Ramsay Steakhouse right over there. If you want a steak, get that. Come over here, watch the games. Take care of those half-price appetizers. They're crazy. Their appetizers are awesome. And the 50-cent wings. And Desmond, you heard the promo there for Dana Hughes. Dana Hughes, players-only show. It's his second year doing this. Joe Mays and Dana Hughes, all players. None of us. We're not invited, man. We played in the NFL. You got to have your NFL card to be in that. So I don't, you know. High school football legend, though, Desmond. I'm going to tell you. But you got to have your NFL card to go.
I still have mine.
You do. You get your NFL card. You played in the league, man. I didn't. So, and Dana always is skeptical about defensive guys. I don't know if he told you that.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, what, you know, he got a touchdown for Joe Montana one time, man.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't tell you that. Yeah, and Joe Mays is, of course, defensive-minded guy. But they like bringing the offensive guys in there. They had Kendall Gammon in there, former Chiefs long snapper. Pitt State guy, I love that, in there with them last time. I wish I could have taught myself to long snap better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if I could just – I mean, I know how to do it. Like, I used to practice the ball, you know, top of my head. That's just – But it's pressure, though, because you got to get that, you know, for, like, field goals and
you
stuff.
You got to get it right now.
You got to get it right, but, I mean, you don't do anything. I mean, you sit there and the kickers just sit there and jack around, don't they?
Best two jobs in NFL,
yeah.
Long snapper, backup quarterback.
Oh, Tyler Bray once made $3.1 million for the Chiefs not doing anything. He came in the game and he fumbled the snap.
He's still on the roster, man.
He is.
I think he's in Chicago now,
It takes
man.
A dude 31 years to make $100,000 a year to make what Tyler Bray made. And now that, you don't get hit. You put that yellow jersey on, you don't get hit.
At all.
And you can tell people you're an NFL quarterback, which probably goes a long way, and you don't play. Mahomes got to work for his money.
Well, it's funny because I was talking to my girlfriend about this a few weeks back. I seen Tyler Bray on the sideline of the Chicago game. I'm like, is that Tyler? Tyler Bray, yeah. He got one career start, man. Guys made a few million dollars, man. God bless him. It's a good career.
Are you guys ever jealous of the kickers?
Yes.
Where they're just sitting over there and they're long snappers. They're like a tight little fraternity over there, you know?
Well, when I came to the Chiefs, my second year, we had Cairo Santos, Tulane guy, who they had as the kicker they brought in, who beat out.
I'd never forget seeing him, and I'm like, this guy won the Groves, and this dude can kick.
Man.
Suck up, better watch out.
I actually hosted him at Tulane. So, you know, they come to me.
Start, he's a Tulane guy. Yeah.
Yeah, they came to me, star linebacker, and say, hey, we got a kicker, we want you. I'm like, coach, you serious, man?
Yeah.
You know, come on.
They wanted Cairo.
They wanted Cairo, man. He was from Brazil, man. This kid had a beautiful leg.
Yeah.
He had a special sound off of his foot, man, and it was really cool to see him battle it out, a guy that I was really close with. I mean, suck up's a heck of a kicker.
Yeah.
But, man, this kid was special. So that's always pretty cool, man, when you have those type of relationships, man. But I'm jealous of those guys, A, because they get to golf every day.
Yeah.
Even during the season, you know, they go to half a practice, then they go to the golf course.
I remember talking to Dustin's brother, Britton. He came on the show when he was with the Broncos. And, you know, I was asking him, like, do people treat you like players, man? This is back in the time when, like, Tebow was playing. I say, would they talk to you and stuff? Can you as a kicker? And then I thought about, like, Santos, because he's here and Suckup's here. And, you know, Suckup's real popular. And then you got Colquitt and Suckup, so they're boys. And then all of a sudden, you got this young guy coming in here trying to – that's not getting paid like Suckup was getting paid. And you're, like, sitting here looking at the NFL. You make a lot less. I thought about this year because the Chiefs had this cat, Jack Fox.
Okay.
He's a really good punter that came in here to challenge Colquitt. I don't think they challenged Colquitt, but they brought somebody in to look at it. He ended up being on the Chiefs practice squad from time to time. And I was just kind of wondering how they treated him, you know, because, you know, Winchester's real tight, and Colquitt and Harrison Butker, they got their own little group. And here you got the kicker coming in. But it looks like they treated him pretty nice. But, you know, these kickers, man, you're the guy trying to take their job, man. Guys want to keep their job.
Yeah. Well, the kickers, you either hate them or you love them. You know, if they make the kicks, you love them. You hug their neck. You know, after practice, you know, you buy them a beer, whatever you want to do. And if they miss, man, those are the most hated guys because they're not always at practice. And you don't want to see them miss kicks because you know that's all they do.
I've never seen the Chiefs really mad at a kicker until that Len Elliott game. Like DT and Neil Smith and all those guys. I mean, he missed three field goals.
Yeah.
And those guys, man, sweated that whole year in training camp. That Chiefs team was good, man. The Chiefs defense used to be lights out. This was defense town.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, and I think about that, and I think about, you know, it took him off. He came on 610 Sports. They had him on and brought Lynn on. He's gone on and done well in business and everything else. Sure. But if you're the kicker that missed those kicks, and you got a whole town, and I know these college kickers miss kicks, they get beat up on Twitter, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, it's stupid that they even have a Twitter account, because I wouldn't have one if I was a kicker, man, because they come after you.
Yeah.
These keyboard warriors, you know?
You definitely get harassed, man, if you miss one of these big kicks, man, especially from these fans who really just love the game. You know, you see it in college. Those guys have to go on campus and go around the fans. But in the NFL, you're a little more isolated, you know, so you can go home and be with your family. But nonetheless, man, it can get very, very dark sometimes. And I don't think it's as serious as, you know, those international soccer teams. Those guys miss a goal kick or something. You know, they end up dead. Yeah. But it feels the same, man. You can go to a dark place.
The NFL. Right? But here's the thing, man. Social media, too. And we'll talk this Patriots game. What if somebody misses the big play in this game? You know, Chiefs fans, they'll get on Twitter or fans around the league, and they give them crap. And it's always wonder. I talked to this guy for the Royals. His name's Brett Phillips. He's a guy that's been playing in AAA, and he'll get the call-up. Very nice guy. Very nice guy. And I was talking to him one day because he got picked off third, you know. Because usually people are all like, Chuckles McGee with him on Twitter. You know, he's the funny guy, and they like to tweet with him, and he's real good with the fans. But they were getting on him, man, because he got picked off. You know, they're getting on him. And I say, how do you block that out, man? Because these NFL players, like, I don't care how good you are, they're coming at you.
Right.
You know, LeBron sees this. I guarantee you Michael Jordan, had Twitter been around, people would have been on his ass on games where he didn't score and light up the scoreboard. They've been on how did your teammates or whatever? Because they say they don't read it, but a lot of them read it, man.
Yeah. And you know what, man, it's a family, it's a brotherhood. So a lot of the guys, man, you know, when a guy misses a kick, it's still your brother at the end of the day. You understand this is just a game. You guys are working towards one goal. But you understand this guy wasn't trying to miss it. So that's where internally you guys come closer together. And 9 times out of 10, man, if a guy misses a big kick, you try to still hug his neck, man, and lift him up. Because
it's a lot of money he costs you in the postseason, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. But at the end of the day, that's still your brother, you know, and it's a family business, man. And when that happens, you know, you see guys get picked up. So it does cost you money in the playoffs. You know, guys aren't excited about it, but at the end of the day, you love your guy over everything.
Did you ever get taken out to dinner as a rookie where these guys make you pay?
Well, actually, yeah, BJ Raji, Mike Neal, all those guys took me out.
Oh, you defeat Raji?
They had they ran up a tab that was about $12,000. Then they put in everybody's debit card into a hat and picked it out, man. I was praying, man. I didn't get picked, but I was praying it wasn't me, man.
Someone got picked for that?
Somebody got picked.
Had to pay 12 grand?
I was undrafted. I didn't have the money at that point.
You got fined. You told me. The story's out there. I mean, you got fined. It's everywhere. I mean, ESPN, everybody picked up when you hit Brady.
Sure.
That you were on that 15 team. And it was kind of a banged-up Chiefs team going. Yeah. Macklin was hobbled up play. But there was a question whether Kelce was really the only offensive weapon you guys had. And you had to stay up on defense, and you guys played Brady. You get in there and you hit Brady. They fined you 30 grand, which is stupid. It is. That's dumb. I know they give it to charity. That's a lot of money.
I need a petition for my money back.
And you got it down to 17,000. It's still a big chunk of change. I mean, I'm sure you'd like. I'd love Desmond to sit here and give me 17 grand. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, man. That was a chunk, man.
How do you find out? They put it on your locker?
No, you find out when your check has a deduction.
Oh, they deduct.
Oh, they deduct the check, and then you petition to get your money back, or you appeal. You know, with the NFL, and they make.
So they took 30 G's from you.
30 was gone. That was the whole check.
And they had to pay you back.
They ended up putting it back into my next game check, yeah.
You got no control of it either, man.
At all.
That's like these guys. I mean, the uniform police is out there all the time, you know, and you got to have your socks a certain way, and you got to wear the Nike hat on the sideline. Not only Nike hat, but the one that they want you to wear at a certain time because they change them up. I can't imagine sitting there. Like, I would do things how they wanted. Like, if they wanted socks a certain way, they'd be a certain way. If they wanted the hat a certain way, I don't want my paycheck. That's a lot of money, man. And these guys do it, man. These guys will push the limit. These guys get fined every week for their socks and stuff, man. Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
There are guys, I mean, and with the cleats as well, a lot of the endorsers pay for the fines if you know, do get fined for the cleats. But I know of guys who every week have gotten fined $5,000 just because they choose to wear their socks a certain way.
Well, it's been
nice,
man.
I understand it personally, but I guess if you make a, you know, 6-7 figures a week, you can decide whether or not you want to blow five.
They can wear their cleats this weekend, then the cleats for cause or something.
Correct.
So they wear whatever they want,
that'll
whatever
be pretty
foundation
cool.
they want.
Yeah, so that's where the NFL gives you an opportunity to go outside the rules, go outside the guidelines and spray paint or have somebody paint your cleats. towards a cause that you're passionate about, you know, whether it's your foundation or, you know, a sickle cell. A lot of guys have different things that they're passionate about and that they'll donate money to and wear these cleats today. So we'll see some special, some cool cleats today.
What do you think of these end zone celebrations now?
Like, I love it, man. I grew up
Vikings,
on it, man.
Vikings and Seahawks to me, man.
I grew up on it.
The Chiefs are good at it, too, but you like this.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Did you have one?
It's a kid's game, man. Yeah, I used to have a fist pump, man. I used to fist pump when I was at Tulane. When I get a sack, man, I would do it. Then I started to, like, numb my shoulder out. So I said, I think I need to lay off of this fist pump. I was numb for 2-3 plays, but I think it's really cool. It's a kid's game. Let's be honest, man. We're playing football.
Fans love that. So the Seahawks did a great one. Yeah. Man. I don't know if you saw that.
Which one?
The arm out here, arm out here. They were all doing it. They did this little spin. But that was
the bye-bye-bye. They were doing
the bye-bye-bye. Yeah,
I saw that.
I saw linemen do the Rockettes before last year. And I was waiting for that. Before it happened, I said, I want to see the linemen all put their arm around each other and do the leg kicks like the Rockettes. That'd be funny.
Who wouldn't want to see that, man? 350-pound guys swinging their legs up, huh?
That's great. But there's some good ones. The Chiefs have some good ones, too.
They do.
And I don't think we've seen the best of them yet because I know they practice these things.
No, Kelce's just going to start. I think Kelce's has the most of his bag. Man, I know Kelce, he likes to dance.
Tyreek Hill did the Joker.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. But Kelce's rhythm, man, for a white dude, man, I always tell him, like, man, you can dance, man.
He can dance.
He got rhythm. He's smooth. So I'm excited to see him get in the end zone tonight, see if he can put on a little show for us.
What have you seen from him, like the development from when he – because I remember the day he was drafted, we're in the room there where the media is because we had to talk to the guys, you know, when they're drafted. Sure. And I asked him, like, who he compares himself to because that's always – you know, like, I was curious who he thinks – who he looks after. And he said Shockey. And I was like, oh, boy. we're getting Jeremy Shockey from Kelce, which, you know, he's a watered-down version of it.
Right.
Or Gronk or whatever. You know, they could have used that. But, you know, Andy Reid had told him, you know, I'm gonna take a chance on you, you know. Because he knew his brother, gotcha. You know, from Philadelphia. You know, like, don't mess it up. You know, like, Big Red called you. And I think that's pretty cool. But he's really turned into a leader, man.
Yeah,
like, he might have been wild before, and he probably still is. But he's cool. And we talked about Chris Jones this way. You know, he's real serious now when he talks sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He's playful sometimes, but he knows when it's business. Kelce seems to, like, know when it's business now.
Yeah, and he's maturing, man. He was a young kid. I think he's only still 28, 29 years old. So he's maturing. He was having a lot of fun. But he's a special player as well. An aspect of his game that I think has improved the most is probably the blocking side. You know, when I got to go against him, he was really young in the league.
In practice, you get the crack hits.
Exactly. Wasn't very, you know, super physical, but he's still got a 6'6 stature. Now he's up to 255, 260. So that's the part of his game that I've seen improve really is the blocking. And still, you know, the athleticism is there.
Chiefs used to have a tight end named Jason Dunn.
Jason Dunn. I never played against him. Back
you would know. He was brought here to pound.
Bring pain.
He would catch some from time to time. Like Jason could do that. But Jason was that extra lineman playing tight end. Dude liked to hit you, man, as a tight end. And you face these guys that like to hit. There's tight ends that like to catch. The spread out guys, and there's tight ends that are in there to hit you.
Yeah, and you always have on every single team, you know, whether it's the second or third tight end, they got that guy that loves the block.
Yeah, they know it's going to be on tape. Whatever they do to you is going to be on tape.
Whether he's a former fullback or whether he's just a, you know, clunky hands, they always have that extra lineman tight end guy who they bring in on run packages, and sometimes it's a signal. So that's why I think it's awesome that Kelce is well-rounded his game now because you don't know when he's in a game whether it's a run or a pass. But those bruises are – they're tough.
Well, I want to talk about the Chiefs offense for a little bit and the best teams in the AFC. Desmond Moses is with me. I'm JB Inkley down here at Harrah's Winning Streak. So make sure you come down here. Watch the games today again. 50 Cent Wings, half-price appetizers. Hope to see you guys in a little bit. We're going to talk more to Desmond Moses if you have a question for him. Text line 69306. If you have a question for Des, we'll address those next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Winning Streaks. Jay Binkley, Big Sunday. Jay Binkley, Desmond Moses, former Packer, former Chief, all-around good guy. And we got the 610 crew here as well. We got old Ben on the ones and twos. The Moses crew. Cindy from sales. We're rocking down here. I'm looking right at the Christmas tree. Big one. And I got Gordon Ramsay Steakhouse out there with a bunch of knives. It's like, I want to go pick up my steak. Desmond Moses, you can follow him on Twitter if you want to as well. His Twitter handle, at Desmond M. That's DezManm for those that are that can't spell like myself. It's terrible, Desmond. I'll do these things. Like, I'll put up a podcast and stuff. The Twitter handle never works because I'll misspell like one letter in these people's names and like it won't show up on their timeline. I'll have to go back and redo it. Like, spelling is not my thing, man, you know?
Yeah, you thought you touched base with them and then you go to find out.
I would have been a pro if it wasn't for speed, agility, and, you know, and a lot of things. You know, I would have been like wherever you are, you know? What'd you do? What was your first big purchase? I'm always curious about pro athletes. What the first? Did you take care of mom, or did you buy a car? What'd you do?
Man, my first big purchase was actually before I had any money. Man,
Before I had money,
I signed as an undrafted free agent. They gave me $2,500.
Yeah,
I went and bought a Mercedes truck. I'm like,
are you serious?
Damn, I wasn't even on the team, man.
You didn't even make the team first?
No. That's how confident I was, man.
that's confidence. I like that.
Yeah. I came back for training camp. They're like, oh, you think you made it, huh? And I'm like,
really?
I'm just keep playing hard, coach. You know?
Yeah, oh, man. I would hit that thing, man.
Yeah. I parked in the back of the parking lot.
I was like, Desmond's pretty cocky here, man. I like the confidence, though. Yeah. And, of course, they float a lot of these guys' money before they're drafted, where they think their draft slot's going to be. And there's a lot of guys who go out and spend their money before they get it. I don't know if you saw that 30 for 30 broke from ESPN.
Yeah.
Guys like Vince Young that would rent basically an entire Southwest jet because he'd buy every ticket.
Well, I actually played with Vince Young.
What are you doing? Did you? Yeah, that's right.
In Green Bay, he was there.
I like Vince, but man, it's crazy.
Yeah. Everybody has their own taste, man. He's his own guy.
Rent the damn airplane, man.
I've seen guys do it, man. Actually, a jet would probably be cheaper than an airplane, so I'm not sure why.
It wasn't even a private jet. This was like Southwest there, like a real
just
flight.
Just a regular plane.
You fly all the tickets.
I think
a few people still had tickets and ended up on the plane with Vince. Vince just wanted to be by himself.
Yeah, that's Vince Young for you, man. He's a different guy.
You go to Cheesecake Factory, but like $20,000, $30,000.
Passing out money.
You gotta save that money once in a while, Desmond. You need to find that guy, man. You need to find that guy to do. I'd probably be the same way, though. I'm not going to lie. You give me money, I spend it.
I mean, especially, you know, some of these guys come from, you know, very different backgrounds.
Yeah, and they get to have a little fun, man.
Everybody didn't grow up with money, man. You get your first taste of it. You can see why guys, you know, you can go crazy easily.
I like when guys, you know, take care of their parents. I love those videos where mom's getting a house and stuff.
Yeah.
Or dad's getting the truck or car or something. I love when I see that kind of stuff because it's like you finally made it and you're taking care of the ones that basically sacrificed a lot for you, working two jobs, getting you to practice and making sure you had a place to stay every night.
And I had parents that did the same, man. My dad sacrificed a ton of tournaments. I was a three-sport athlete, so I played baseball, football, and basketball. We had AAU seasons year-round. My little sister, she was an AU basketball player.
Obviously, she's good.
Before going to UVA, four-year starter. But, you know, you really start to appreciate your parents, you know, as you become a parent especially, and see how much time and energy they put into, you know, sacrificing and trying to get you to where you want to be.
I won't put this guy's business on the street, but he played in the league for a very good team, won the Super Bowls, and he played here as well. And he had bought mom and dad a house.
Okay.
Right? And he and his wife had a nice house. Well, he and his the money started dwindling. He and his wife had to downsize.
Gotcha.
Mom and dad got mad. He wanted them to do the same thing. They took him to court. I was like, what are you doing?
That can get out of hand.
I was like, what are you doing, man? This guy take care of me.
Nobody.
And the wife was mad. She's like, make them get in a bit smaller house, too, because you're making me get in it, you know.
Look, nobody wins when the family feuds. I think Jay-Z said it best, man. That's a tough situation there.
Yeah. The Chiefs offense, we talked about it a little bit, you know, the wind and stuff like that. I'm not worried about it. And to be honest with you, I think the biggest thing is the defense. You've been waiting for the Chiefs defense, right? Be the reason you win.
Right.
Like, don't be just everything Pat Mahomes. I think, you know, the coaching staff relies on Pat. Pat's here. He's going to go get the job done. But the defense, you know, I remember Derek Nottie after the game said, we stepped up for Pat. And that was good for me to hear because you stepped up for Matt Moore.
Right.
Pat's never had a defense.
Sure.
I went back. Like, at Texas Tech, there were 128 out of 128 teams scoring defense. So I'm like, all right. So I went back to Max Preps, the high school website, looked at White House, Texas, where Mahomes played. His junior and senior year, he scored 50 and 60 points respectively, even spreading 619 yards, lost both of them.
Wow.
And I was like, this cat ever had a defense. So that's been the biggest, you know, the defense. You got to be a full team, man.
Yeah.
And seeing that is his confidence.
Well, you have to be, man. You understand that as a defense and as a team, man. Kevin Green used to always tell us, hey.
That's your guy.
That's my guy. I always speak on him, but he used to tell us, hey, don't waste these years. Aaron Rodgers, these years are special.
You know, window.
It's a window because health is not promised, especially in this game. It's 100% injury rate. So for the Chiefs, you know, the defense and the offense and everybody included has to feel that sense of urgency because when you get a special talent like Pat Mahomes, you definitely want to capitalize while he's in his prime because, unfortunately, man, as often as we want these guys to be Tom Brady's and play for 17 years, he's an outlier, you know, so – they got to win it now. They got to do it now. And I think they have the team. You know, they got a new defense. They're young guys, more weapons. If you can believe it, the Chiefs have added more weapons. So, you know, in these next few years is the window. You know, I'm not going to say it's closing, but this is prime time for them.
I like what they did. And I was high on this defense at training camp, really high on it. And I had to take a few steps back. Obviously, you know, talking about keyboard warriors like to get after you. Hey, you said this defense is going to be good. And I was like, well, just wait a minute. Just wait. Just give it
Hang
time. But Steve Spagnuolo comes in here, and we know Spags can beat the Patriots. I think Spags was hired to beat the Patriots, to be quite honest with you, because he knows how to do it. But you look at this coaching staff. You know, Brendan Daly, 3 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots, defensive line. Matt House comes in as just a linebacker. This guy was one of the best defensive coordinators in the country, Kentucky.
Yep.
It took Andy Reid to get on the phone because Kentucky didn't want to lose him.
Right.
I was like, man, you don't want to hire somebody and the NFL comes calling, you hold him back. You ain't getting anybody else
if
you're holding him from going to the NFL. And he was also instrumental in Aaron Donald. Like, he helped Aaron Donald to Pittsburgh. So that's the guy you want here. And I know he's a linebacker coach, but, you know, these guys can help those guys out. And then you got Sam Madison that I love the way he played in the league. You know, he's an assistant for Dave Merritt.
Right.
And I think Dave Merritt's made a big difference in secondary. Spags is a secondary guy, too.
Right.
But I think the Badger, kind of that player coach, helped it out. But what do you see with the scheme change from where it was when you were here to where it is now?
In one word, I would say simple. Simplified it. You know, Sutton had a very complex form of the 3-4 defense. I got a chance to play in it, you know, in Green Bay with Dom Capers, and then here, you know, the next year. So that was the biggest change that I noticed, was how much more complex it was. And I think with going back to the 4-3 with Spagnuolo, man, they've dumbed it down. You know, it allows guys to play a tick faster. Defense is all about reaction. You know, so you don't get an opportunity to think. If you have to think twice, that guy's gone. You know, so this allows it to be a little more simple, use your instinct, use your skill, and I think it's going to pay off. It still takes some time for things to, you know, smooth out. This is a totally new defense, totally new parts for the Kansas City Chiefs defense, but I think they're going to iron it out, and they're improving quickly.
Let me ask you this, though. You say, you know, did you overthink things at times? Was it real complex? When you're on the field, are you constantly thinking about where you're supposed to, instead of playing football sometimes? Right.
It's alignment, you know, and even, for example, you know, there could be a passing strength change. You know, say a wide receiver motions from one side to the other, it could put us in a completely different defense. Now, he can motion back to right over the center, which puts us in a different defense, then come back and puts us in a third defense. So these type of changes, this type of complexity makes it difficult for young guys to come in and flourish. You know, that's why you really saw the DBs struggle, the linebackers struggle. A guy like Marcus Peters, he has success immediately because he's playing man-to-man. You know, that's just
– it was his thing.
That's just what it is. You know, but for the other guys, it was a little more complex, so it took a season or two for them to really comprehend it.
So you say that, and I think it's important because, you know, I've heard basketball players talk about just not being able to play the game. They're always constantly worrying about where they're supposed to be, and it's not playing.
Right.
Like, that's what they know how to do. Pete Carroll once wrote a book, and I reference this book all the time because I liked it that much, about how he kind of resurrected his career from the NFL to try to go out to the USC and –
sure.
You know, getting everybody out the 50-yard line, say you're either in or you're out. They didn't want him. They didn't want Pete at USC.
Right.
They thought it was just going to be another failed coach.
Yeah.
And then he wins, and he wins big time at USC. They had to vacate one of their titles because of Reggie. But he recruited and he turned that thing in the machine, and he won at both levels, college and the NFL. But he wrote this book, right, and he talked about being able to – like, he's a defensive-minded guy. And he said his defense, when they could concentrate on their job,
right,
like when you had the safeties worrying about just them, and it's not like Eric Berry putting everybody in position to play. Like Eric Berry just concentrating on what he's doing. And nowadays, like Honey Badger, he didn't have to worry what Ward is doing. Like, he has that trust in Servarius Ward. Kendall Foy has his trust in what his defensive line. But you're a better player when you can concentrate on yourself and not worrying what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. If you know your assignment, man, and you can just snap to it, you don't have to really look around or second guess. And I told you the story the other day about, you know, in Green Bay, man, we used to have, before our defensive meeting, 30 calls that linemen knew, defensive linemen knew, linebackers knew, and the DBs knew. So whoever you're working with, we could still make these calls within our little weaponry. You know, we had a little stash of calls we could make, whether it's in or out, whether it's, you know, banjo. But it allowed us to play very fast because we didn't have to second guess. We made a call, we stuck with it, and we played together. That's what makes defense good.
College football playoff rolling out now. I can't wait to get to this.
I've been
waiting. Yeah. The thing, too, is Desmond, and the other thing, too, I'm going to ask you, because I saw what some of the former players were saying about the college football, they always use the silent clap, the clap count. And some of the former NFL players are saying they would love that. And it's not as much in the NFL now as – well, Kyler Murray uses it.
Right.
But it's more of a college thing because the linemen would say, wait a minute, these defensive players know when we're snapping because of the clap.
Right.
And now sometimes they'll mix in two claps. So, but the NFL will call you if you're abrupt with it.
Right.
But you can still clap as long as you bring your hands slowly together. But they were saying these guys are too fast in the NFL. You give them a clap, they know when you're going. They're jumping. That You guys would have loved the clap, man.
Yeah, a timing matter like that makes it tough for the offensive linemen in particular because, you know, when those defensive linemen start to get jumps, if they know what the snap count is, now you have to try and stop a guy who's 2-3 steps ahead of you. You know, those guys are backpedaling. You don't want a guy running out before you get a chance to backpedal. So I don't know if the silent clap will work. Nonetheless, you still see it. I still see the guys do the silent counts, and you'll see the – you know, there's two head turns by the center.
Yeah.
There's a tap by the guard. You know, there's a number of different things they'll implement so that they can use the silent count but still be on the same page and not get the defensive jump.
What was your biggest tell? They've always said, like, the fingers. Like, when you put the fingers down, you said white in the knuckles. it's rumpling.
Sure. You can tell the knuckles. I mean, you can tell from the alignments how close the linemen are to the ball. Nowadays, you see offensive tackles, they're in the backfield on pass.
They're standing up, not even down.
Yeah, I mean, their head doesn't break the center's waist, which is supposed to, but – that's when you know it's a pass. When those guys have got those legs split, they know, you know, it's a lot of speed on the edge. So the run pass looks very, very different. You know, even today while you're watching the game, watch how tight those guys are to the line of scrimmage when it's a run play. You'll see the linemen right down the line of scrimmage along the center.
Try to fool Frank Clark. Hopefully he plays today. Desmond Moses, Jay Binkley, we're down here at Winning Streaks at Harrah's. They put out the college football playoff matchups. I do want to – I'm a college football guy, and I know Des likes it too, so I'll bring up these, and we'll talk more about the Chiefs-Patriots, and I want to know what he thinks is the best team in the AFC. We do that next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Big Sunday, live from Winning Streaks at Harrah's Casino with Desmond Moses, former Chief, former Packer, and we're sitting here inside Winning Streaks. By the way, come down here, 50-cent wings, half-priced appetizers, my man Des. Already all over the wings.
Tell him my secrets, man.
Are you already done with those?
No.
He's been eating during the break, man. He's got this thing down, man. He's jammed during the break.
I'm just testing them out, make sure everything tastes beautiful.
We're down here at Winning Streaks at Harrah's. By the way, this college football playoff, you know, they're doing the selection show now, and I have no idea that the pace they're doing it, but I do know the top four. LSU got that one, so they jump up to one. Well, I mean, look at it. They beat number four handily,
Absolutely. You
know, in the SEC title game. And they'll play Oklahoma. It'll be a fun little matchup, LSU versus Oklahoma. And Jalen Hurts, no stranger to LSU. This guy's seen him before. So that's good for Oklahoma. And that defense playing better under Alex Grant. And that was one thing. Oklahoma's defense kind of faded a few games there. But if they could play defense with that offense, look out for Oklahoma, because that's always been kind of their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And that's going to be in the Peach Bowl. Will be the semifinal there. Then in the Fiesta Bowl will be number two Ohio State, number three Clemson. And again, this is, I think, if I'm an LSU, you know, if I'm Ed Orgeron or Ryan Day, the coach is here, I'm like, you know, Clemson, again, we're talking about them. No one, they have won two of the last three. And if they lost one of those games to Alabama. They know how to, and LeSean Watson and company knew how to get this team there, and Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback. You got a quarterback that knows how to win one. And I'm like sitting there thinking, man, I mean, it is the playoffs. You got to play whoever's in there. I get that. But Clemson, you'd eventually face them anyway.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, man.
But you're Ohio State, you're playing Clemson, and Clemson finally plays a good team here.
Yeah, they got to have an opponent, man. And I think it's interesting. We read through those four teams and no Alabama. You know, I think this is the first time in a long time.
The first time they ever played in it.
Yeah. And even prior to it, you know, first time in a long time they haven't been in a national championship game.
Well, Tua gets hurt, you know, and it kind of changed how the committee, they kept them there at five and see what Mac Jones could do at quarterback, but they know it's a different team without Tua.
Yeah,
and they're taking all that in consideration, the injuries, sure. You know, who's going to be there going forward. But Alabama's got seven first-round picks, man.
Every year.
The 2017 recruiting class, seven first-round picks. That's even including, like, Devontae Smith, their wide receiver, or their running back, Najee Harris. They're probably second and third round for those guys. That's unbelievable to have nine guys, and that team's not in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they're a special team. They recruit at the highest. You know, everybody who's anybody in high school wants to go there. They know that's pretty much the epitome of college football.
Yeah.
It may be swaying and changing a tick now with Ohio State and the Clemsons.
Yep.
But I'm interested to see, man. I also think it's interesting.
I love the playoffs, man.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, this guy was, you know, in the playoffs a few years ago with Alabama, and now he's taking a new program and a new team, and they're in the top four with Oklahoma.
I think some of these quarterbacks will end up in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. This is going to be a close race this year. I really think this is going to be a close race. Jalen Hurts will be there, I believe, or should be there. Justin Fields, the quarterback of Ohio State, again,
sure.
You have to take – what he did. I mean, look at his touchdown interception ratio. That's incredible. But you got to remember, too, Ohio State be up by 40 points. They're going to sit there, you know, chucking the ball down the yard all the time. So his numbers are skewed, you know, because of that. But now I'm looking at this schedule and thinking that he'll be there. Chase Young, I think,
people would have been there and made it, give it a to. Run for the money. Remember when the Badger went there from defense, wore that nice suit at the Heisman Trophy ceremony? Badger went there 1 year, too.
Only defensive guy to ever win it was my guy, Charles Wilson. I believe still
the only
day.
Way he's – yeah, because he means dangerous return. I think the return game helped
yeah,
him,
no, it was definitely return game.
And that
game.
Pose.
Yeah, the pose.
No, he didn't have the pose. Desmond had the pose.
Desmond Howard had the pose, but he had the rose in the mouth. You know, that's the iconic Charles Woodson picture I remember, man, from Michigan when he won his last Rose Bowl. You know, they gave him the MVP. Man, this guy was special, though.
AFC, Lamar Jackson getting ready to go here in about 23 minutes against the Buffalo Bills. And you know what? Here's the thing about Buffalo. It is the team that passed on Watson. It is the team that passed on Mahomes.
Yeah.
Because they traded down, and they've got to live with that. They got to live with Watson. They got to live with passing Mahomes. And that's tough. The guy they have, Josh Allen, is a guy that really stood up against the Cowboys. And they, you know what? His completion percentage is not there. But that fourth down play that he picked the football up and still got it, I think that went a long way
absolutely
for his teammates. But here's the thing, Desmond. Buffalo controls their own destiny.
Okay.
I mean, we look at the Bills, and we think the Bills, but they're playing the Ravens today.
Absolutely.
And they still got the Patriots.
They're a good team.
And they lost the Patriots 16-10 at home. But what's you know, the Bills do control their own, which is crazy to think that they do, because everybody's talking about Baltimore, everybody talking about the Chiefs, everybody talks about New England. Here's the Buffalo Bills, man. It's all right in front of them. Just win the games.
Absolutely, man. I think the Buffalo Bills are one of the organizations and teams that just get it. They play well-rounded football. They have quality football players on their team. They can run the ball, and they defend. So when you have a mixture of that, every year, you know, you can have a solid team, and you never know who you can beat. I wouldn't want to play the Buffalo Bills late in the season either, especially
there.
Yeah, they have a little swagger. Micah Hyde, another Iowa guy, you know, these guys are starting to get themselves
man,
you're
together. You're just like Dana, man. Iowa, New Jersey guy, man.
I got to shout out all my home teams. But, you know, they're coming together, man, and he's a veteran now, 30 years old, man. These guys are coming into their own. They're not afraid to play anybody. You know, they've seen the Tom Brady's. They've seen the Pat Mahomes. They've seen, you know, the data Lamar Jackson's.
And then one thing about it, too, is, and New England, they did get routed, you know, at Baltimore. And they came back against the Texans. They were getting smoked there for a while, but they came back at the end of the game. That's the one thing. I look at the Chiefs and Mahomes. They don't get – I mean, it's all within a score.
Right.
Mahomes has not been beat by more than a score. And I look at this league, man. There are teams that just don't brand. Patriots lost 26-10 last year in week 3 to the Lions. They started off 1-2.
Right.
2017, they were 2-2. They've been in the Super Bowl. Teams get beat in this league, and they just don't. I think that's a huge credit to them. Yeah, if some defense isn't working or special teams doesn't look good and the offense is not clicking, you're still not getting blown out, especially in this league.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a testament just to show how close each game is. You know, the Chiefs have been putting together four quarters for a long time, and, you know, I've never seen Andy really get blown out. I mean, to be honest, he's always had a great offense and always got it clicking.
Yeah.
And then when you got a guy like Pat Mahomes, we've seen even last year in the Ravens game when they were down fourth down, this guy, you know, makes a hell of a play. Those type of plays that keep you close, you know, and knowing that, you know, you can have a home run by Tyreek Hill or, you know, Hardman, it allows you to stay close in games because you can score in the flash.
The return game. So, I mean, they're not going to give him anything on punt returns, I don't think. Belichick's too smart. I can see him.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? I'd put Hill out there because you put Hill out there, he's not returning it.
No.
They'll kick it out of bounds like we saw earlier this year with teams doing it. You put Tyreek back there, I don't think they take the chance because they know he can flip the game.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll kick it out of bounds. They'll kick it right out of bounds. It's what they'll do.
Yeah.
And with the kick return, get your chance, get your opportunity, because I think Belichick will try to limit the Chiefs. Now, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
The current Royals broadcaster, Denny Matthews, always said, expect the unexpected in sports.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be a great pitching matchup, and the game would be 9-8. It wouldn't be 2-1 like you're expecting. Like, this could, in turn, you expect, because Mahomes and Brady kind of getting tired of, you know, the talk. Do you think these cats get into a shootout? Or do you think there's a possibility of that?
I think you hit it on the head, man. I think special teams might be the difference in this game. Dave Tobe is an awesome special teams coach, one of the best in the NFL that the Kansas City Chiefs have. And he always has a plan. I'm sure he has a play that he's cooked up this week, whether it's on punt or punt return or kickoff return. He has something cooked up where he's going to try to steal a possession. And not only that, I think that, you know, the closer the game is, field position becomes a factor against special teams. But whichever team I think scores on special teams, that they'll win the game. We have the better weapons, so I think the Chiefs have the advantage today.
One thing we were watching during the break is you were on TV there. Your team was when you lost the Patriots. It's going to come up today.
Sure.
It's coming up because we're going to talk about the playoff losses to the Patriots.
Yeah.
How would the Chiefs have their number in the regular season? And how, well, except last year they lost a close one in New England. But that team that you had there, and I guess the directive probably was, I mean, that's the bad thing at the end of the game. Like, even this past game against Brady in the playoffs, if he's clean, man, you don't want him to have a clean jersey. You want right. him to look like he's been playing football. And he looks fine after the game. You finally hit him.
Right.
What'd they say to you? I mean, obviously that fine I think is stupid, but did they say anything to you? Like, man, at least hit him? At least we hit him?
No, it was don't do that again. That was my last play on defense. They were not excited about that.
You were done.
I was done.
It was a big play in that game.
Yeah, and I had a short leash. I was, third string guy. I had a short leash, but, the way I grew up playing a game of football, man, you have to affect these guys. You have to hit them, the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers. If you don't and they get comfortable, man, they will pick you apart. And we've seen it, over the years with Tom Brady when he gets the ball off and he's sit clean for four quarters. Generally, he's smiling. You got to look at him, talk mess in the press conference afterwards. So that was my goal, was to hit him, make him think about the throw.
How'd
twice.
You hit him? How'd you hit him? What was it?
It was shoulder to shoulder, man. It was a clean hit, no helmet to helmet. It was shoulder to shoulder. They said I was one step too late.
You carry that around with you? Hey, man, I got a fine for hitting Brady.
Oh, yeah. I got a picture of it. So
do you?
Yeah. I got a picture of my pay stub, too, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the pay stub.
I won't forget you, Tommy.
Brady cost you some cash. Did you was anybody talking junk to you when you did that? I guarantee if someone hits Mahomes, they're going to be getting linemen.
You know what, man? I mentioned earlier how we got into it with Edelman that game, and he knocked out one of our guys on the punt return when they caught it. That was our fight for the game, but, their teammates, man, they didn't say much. My teammates, they understood what was going on. They knew
I was glad somebody hit Brady.
Yeah, I'm a physical player, so that was kind of my style. The coaches weren't happy, though. That's what they get paid to do, is kind of reprimand me. So they got after me on the sideline.
The coaching staff got idea. I still think it's funny, by the way, we talked about Freddie, about how Dylan McCullough, the running backs coach, put Darvin Thompson in. Nobody knew.
Get him out of there.
Just keep him in here. It looks good. I always said this about Dante Hall returning kicks. It's like he returned his punt inside the five. He'd be like, no, no, no. Then he'd be like, yes, yes.
No, what great play,
Like your team Mahomes has done this, like, don't look pale. What are you doing? And then all of a sudden it's a touchdown, and he's like, all right, I just got to understand. I got to reel myself in because this quarterback is different than what I've had.
Well, my coaches always say, hey, you better do your job or we're going to be screaming at you. And if you do something different, you better make the play. Because if you don't, we're going to be ripping your tail. And if you make the play, we'll be hugging your neck.
Jay Binkley, Desmond Moses, down at Winning Streaks at Harris Casino. One more segment for us. And, of course, Pete Sweeney, the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show with Kent Swanson, comes your direction at 125 right here on 610 Sports Radio or radio.com app. I'm going to ask Desmond who's going to win this game. And I'll tell you who I think is going to win this game. And we'll do that next.
Big Sunday. Listening on the radio.com app. Make sure to favorite 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Harrah's Winning Streak. The bar's starting to fill up, and of course, a lot of reservations here for the Chiefs game later against the Patriots. A lot of people down here taking advantage of 50 cent wings, half priced appetizers. That is speaking my language. Former NFL player Desmond Moses played for the Packers and the Chiefs. Once got fined 17 large for hitting Tom Brady. But you know what? We can't be mad at Des, because he did what no one was doing that game, and that's putting Brady down and making him think about it.
Got to, man. Got to. It's physical game.
I remember watching that game, man. The penalty hurt. It did. It hurt the momentum of that game. But I was glad about it, though. I was like, finally someone hit Brady. Right. Like, I did the post game, and I was like, how mad are we going to be at Dez because he actually went and hit Brady when no one wants to touch him, and he finally did it. Why are we gonna hate on Dez here?
Yeah, I guess I was a scapegoat, man, but I love hitting, man. That feeling when you make a man crumble, it's nothing like it.
How do you replace that when you stop playing?
Whew, keep working out, man. Keep working out, playing basketball, playing a few leagues, and just keep competing, man. That's what it comes down to, is the competition that's embedded in you.
It's awesome.
So you just got to, fulfill it with something else.
Let's go. I'm curious your opinion on some of these games. We talked about this a second ago, but the Bills and the Ravens, who are you liking in this one?
Ravens, man. I'm not going against Lamar Jackson right now. He's playing outside of his mind, man. He's an MVP candidate. He's changing the whole face of the league right now, so my pick is easy there.
I'm looking forward to that game. It's one of those games I'm actually really looking forward to checking out what's going on there. Chiefs, Patriots. All right, let's think about this. Don't use your heart.
Okay.
And I know you played with a lot of these guys, and a lot of these guys. And Tom Brady, too, because you hit him. All right. This game right here. Ebbs and flows of the game. Obviously, we have the matchup of Brady and Mahomes. We have the chess match between Andy Reid calling plays.
Absolutely.
Going against Belichick, who's calling plays. A little chess match there between Andy and Bill. And I know they have a healthy respect for each other. I think Mahomes and Brady do, too.
What do I have?
Patriots good at home, 18 straight at home. But the Chiefs got that mojo going.
Yeah, man. I can't. You know, it's hard for me to ever root against Tom Brady, man, or vote against him because, you know, he's proven time after time again that he's a special being. He's a competitor. I say he has that Michael Jordan effect. Even late in games when they're down, you know the tide is changing. You know he's about to do
Pat?
Something.
Has he got the
Pat's still young.
Steph Curry effect or what?
Yeah, Pat's still young. He got the. I think he has a Steph Curry effect. That's a good one to go with because he's young, energetic kid, you know, got all his guys going, and he can make a splash in a quick amount of time. But it's hard to go against Tom. So despite my gut telling me the Chiefs, man, I'm gonna go with the Patriots, man, in a close one, 27-24.
I'm going to go different than you here. And it's because I'm thinking of this game. And I think the Chiefs, even though they had that bye week and they played the Raiders after that, I know some of this time was probably spent on the Patriots. That's not a stretch, is it?
When
looks ahead a little bit. You never want to look ahead. They suddenly never look ahead, but you got to look ahead.
Yeah, you'll never see that in the media, but
yeah.
There's those weeks throughout, even during a bye week, when you got a team that's on your schedule, you got them on mind, and you may even take a day out to go over certain sets that they like or formations. But man, it's difficult. You know, I think this is a big game for both teams, for both coaches, both quarterbacks, and at the end of the day, it's going to come down to special teams and defense because everything else is so close, man.
It means it could be a hard one return.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
Or a defensive pick. It could be the Honey Badger taking to the house or Thornhill or someone, maybe Charvarius Ward, one of those guys. And, I mean, I look at this game and I think about the chess match going through and I think about all the things. It's a big game for Pat. Big game for Pat because Lamar and Deshaun, which, you know, everybody, the quarterback fraternity is pretty close. These guys are all pretty tight. And they have wins over Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
And Pat does it. And it's not his fault, to be honest with you, that he doesn't. And you got Reed versus Belichick. And I'll never forget the Chiefs before they played Chip Kelly when he's coach of the Eagles. They did that swinging gate on the extra point.
Yeah.
The Chiefs had actually taken a day out of practice, even well before they even played Philly.
Okay.
Knowing that was future theirs. That's that planning ahead part of it.
Right.
To stop that. But I'm looking at this game, man, and the Chiefs have been so close against the Patriots. And they've beaten them, you know, bad in the preseason at times, the two before the one that happened last year. Chiefs were well ahead in that one. Just matched up good against the Patriots. I felt the Chiefs gave them a couple more minutes in that game during regulation before overtime against the Patriots.
Sure.
They win that game. And Dee Ford not being offsides, I do think they win that game. It's tough, man. It's tough. I mean, but and Frank Clark, you know, the Twitter, you know, the picture of Jordan there with Pippen, you know, the sick game. Fire him up.
Yeah.
Fire him up.
Yeah.
You said Chris Jones is getting all the sacks in this game. If Frank plays, I'll take Frank. All right. I'll take Frank in this game to be the one that's back there the most. If Frank plays, because I like the sick factor.
Yeah.
I like this, you know, hey, man, I'm sick, man. Look at me, what I'm doing. Taking the Chiefs by three.
Man, that's close, man. I, you know what? I think I still give the edge to Jones, man, as far as getting that sack and getting the pressure today. He's just an unstoppable force, man. But Frank Clark, if he plays today, he'll be a huge impact. You know, he'll have to keep Brady in the pocket, coming around the edge. If they can ball him in and make it uncomfortable for him to make some of those throws, speed up his progression so that he has to get it out and him and the receivers need to be on the same page, I think they can have some success. But my gut still tells me, man, never go against Tom.
I know. Mine too. I mean, why would I do that? I mean, this guy just wins. But
does it?
their offense is getting a lot of criticism, man.
Absolutely.
And the defense hasn't played as well as it had earlier in the season. They still give up 12 points a game. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you're giving up 12 points a game, that is a stupid number. And I don't care who they're playing. They're playing NFL talent.
Right.
Well, we forget at the end of the day, they're playing NFL teams.
Absolutely.
If you sit here and say, could Bama beat the Bengals? No, they couldn't.
Absolutely not. But you know what, man? It's one of those things, too. Tom Brady hears the noise. You know, he's been watching throughout the week how everybody's talking about he's aging, he's getting older, he's losing it.
Oh, yeah.
Those type of comments are the comments that really makes him go into the week with a lot of focus and come out and play really, really big. So, you know, unfortunately, I think the Chiefs had a few other opponents this week in the commentators' broadcasters really talking about how Tom Brady's struggling because Tom Brady's a very, very passionate guy. He's a competitor. So whenever he hears stuff like that, man, he channels it. He puts it on the board. He takes it with him into the game.
If you're a coach, you're listening to Romo in your headset. He's coming up next, man. He does, man.
Absolutely. Man, it's tough, man, but Tony Romo, man.
But these tells, man. I was talking to you about the knuckles and stuff, the tells, and like the snap count, the Titans guessed it.
Yeah.
That's how they blocked that kick. They guessed that snap count. There's just so many different, like, analytics is just changing this game. Baseball's got these tells all the time. Yeah. They'll notice when a pitcher's going to throw fast. You've heard about the Astros. Yeah. They're banging that trash can because they have these. But it's easier to cheat. But football is analytical. It's getting analytical, man.
Yeah.
I mean, NBA was far analytical. NHL, all these were. NFL's really starting to get this way, especially tells, man.
Really.
And the Patriots been ahead of the curve on that because they've been filming people forever.
You know, an interesting thing, even while we played, man, every single person is researched, from the refs. Even going into the week, they'll tell you who the crew is. Yeah.
Really?
These guys.
Does that matter?
Oh, yeah. These guys call 20% more holding penalties than this crew. So you'll know if it's a handsy crew, you can't use your hands on defense. They're the highest in the league in penalties. So every single aspect of the game is researched, man, and they come back with this data. We have them in team meetings, man, so everybody knows, whether it's from the field conditions to the referees to the lights, to the elevation. Everything is taken into account. That's why these guys get paid the big bucks.
Well, Ed Hockley's retired now, I think. His son doesn't now. I asked Thomas Jones this one time when he played. Cause Thomas had these arms that were monsters, and I asked him, who's bigger, you or Ed Hockley? Who do you think of bench more, you or Ed?
Man, Ed right now, I tore my pectoral muscle, man. I don't bench the same anymore. I seen Ed Hockley in those shirts. He looks like the Hulk.
Ed needed a size bigger, didn't he, or two? I think liked the smaller. It was cold. Ed'd be in the short sleeves. But first down, he'd be flexing and stuff.
He was oiled up and all, so I think that was for show.
That's good stuff. Desmond Moses, former Packer, former Chief, bringing it strong today here at Winning Streaks, where you can get 50-cent wings and half-price appetizers. I'm telling you, come down here, get on the recliners, watch the games, kick your feet up, order beer, just like these guys are doing right here. They understand what's going on. It'll probably be filled for the Chiefs game, so just make sure you're here nice and early. Thanks to Grant Nicholson back there producing the operation. Thanks to Pete Sweeney, who joined us earlier. Don't forget the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show comes your direction at 125. Pete Sweeney and Kent Swanson. See you guys tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.